Okay, I'm just hitting record. I got no plan. No plan is my motto in life. Never make a plan. Just go with the flow, baby. I have nothing. I have no idea what I'm going to talk about. I'm sitting in Joshua Tree, and listen to that. You hear that? That's snow and rain. Or it can't be both. It's snow. It was snowed earlier. Now it's raining due to acclimated temperature. And listen to that. Fireplace. So I got the fireplace and the rain, which is a great combination for audio acoustic vibrations to relax, which Lord knows I need to. And I'm sitting in Joshua Tree. It's fucking freezing. Well, I guess technically it's not freezing if it's raining, right? Because it has to be 32 degrees for the rain to turn to snow. So it's really cold, though. And I'm just sitting alone in the desert, losing my fucking mind. I'm losing my mind. I'm losing my mind. Everybody's going crazy. And when I go into LA, people are ready to kill each other on every corner. And I got the citizen app and it goes boop, boop. Naked man wielding, is it yielding or wielding? Scissors on a woman. The crime's out of control. So again, my life now consists of sitting alone in the desert, and at about day 4 or 5, I snap, and I gotta go into LA and see friends. You know what I mean? I gotta see people, so I go into COVID town, and shit is so crazy. Shit is fucking crazy right now. I just feel like everybody's really starting to hit the wall. It's been a year of lockdown, and people are just starting to fucking, like, you could feel it in the air. It's like an energy. It's an energy in the air. Like, I compare it to 9/11. And I remember when Rodney King happened, because I was in California, and there was this energy in the air. You could feel it where people are looking at each other like animal shit. Like, it's on. And that's what's happening right now. So I am back. I went to LA for a couple of days. It was 80 degrees in the middle of winter. Beautiful. Now it's fucking cold again. And yeah, shit is fuck. Like, people are snapping. You know what I'm saying? People are fucking snapping. And I get it, because I feel like I'm going to snap, crackle, and pop and suck your own dick, baby. All right. I just bought a book that I'll never read. I'll put it in the pile of books that I have ADD. Are you like me? You'll read a whole page, but like, I was thinking about something else. I feel like social media and TV and internet have made my attention span that of a rare billy goat from Monrovia. I just cannot see, like, it's harder to read. The older I get, because I'm conditioning my brain with social media apparatus and things, which I actually have deleted now for a while. I just opened it to post the pod, and I tell you, I feel great. It feels good. I deleted it Christmas. I've done like a couple posts. I open it, post something, delete it again, and it feels really good. To be off that shit. Everybody's opinionated. Everyone thinks they know what's going on. I'm at a point now where I'm just like, man, I guess you know what's going on, huh? Everybody's like, oh, this is what's going on. They're, you know, they're faking the numbers of COVID. Oh, this is what's going on. It's all a big sham. This is what's going on. This actually, this many. It's, oh, really? You know that? Nobody, dude. We don't know shit. There's a lot of power in saying I don't know, and I think that's what it is. You know, there's a word called apophenia. Let me make sure I said that right. Is it apophenia? That I like learning new words, but I obviously can't remember them. Apophenia. So apophenia is the tendency to perceive meaningful connections between unrelated things. Did I talk about this on the last podcast? I don't know. It's basically like when you see Jesus in your toast and you're like, it's a sign from Jesus and God. No, it's just you ate 7,302 pieces of toast and eventually one of them's going to look like something. There's no connection. But I think what we do is we make connections that aren't there. I was talking to Chris Ryan about this. I brought it up, and they say it's early stages of schizophrenia, that it, when you start, it's like a paranoid reality when you're connecting things that aren't there, and it's like pattern recognition, but you're forcing a narrative to be that isn't there and making sense of something that makes no sense to have some control, and it's really rampant. I see it happening a lot, and I think life is fortuitous, random, no pattern. But then there's an argument. There is a design, you know? But I don't know. I don't fucking know. So I told this to Chris Ryan, and then he went on his podcast and talked about it. Didn't give me credit. It's okay, Chris. And then I was just listening to Neil Brennan's podcast, and then he brought it up too. I wonder if he heard Chris talk about it. But the word's a great word, apophenia, making connections that aren't there. And I think that's what's happening a lot. It's like, oh yeah, oh, it's like, oh, the BLM marched in March. Is that a coincidence? Marched in March. There's no coincidence. Yeah, there is coincidence. That's a coincidence. That's not, don't try to connect anything. You know what I mean? Yeah, a lot of crazy shit. I don't want to talk about politics because I'm not educated and such, and everybody and their mom's talking about it. I also am trying to not watch the news. That's very tricky stuff. I keep it to about 10 to 15 minutes a day tops of news and no social media. And I find I'm really a lot happier. I really am. I find that I'm more, I just listen to 80s music. I've been working out. I've been crispy. I've been feeling like a crispy Bonaducci. So that's happening. I'm drinking water. I'm being really healthy. I haven't had red meat in a while. Okay, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I haven't really been talking about it, but I'm doing ayahuasca, okay? And I just did combo. I'm doing ayahuasca, and I'm not really talking about it. And I don't want to be one of those people after I do it that starts talking about it all the time. It's like when people talk about their dreams or their psychedelic journey, it's like, no thanks. I don't want to be that person, so I won't be. But I'm telling you, I'm going to do it, and I am. You have to do a whole cleanse leading up to it. So what I did last weekend is called Kambo, K-A-M-B-O. It's a toad, a frog or toad, from the Amazon that no predators can eat because it's so toxic and it's so poisonous. And this is what it's come to. I've done everything under the sun, so I figured try this. You basically have a someone who serves the medicine, a shaman-like person, wonderful woman from Europe, was my medicine woman, and she burns a hole in your fucking skin and then puts the toxin, the poison, essentially, in the open wound on your arm or wherever you put it. And you get violently sick for about an hour, and you purge, and you throw up, you drop a deuce, and you fucking sweat, and your face swells up, and I look like an 80-year-old frog for a few hours, and it was gnarly. And I did that last weekend, and then afterwards, I don't know if it's placebo or what, but then you feel amazing. You get like, I just feel really good. So again, if it's placebo, then great. It was worth feeling sick for an hour to have this feeling. But yeah, look into Kambo, and it's supposed to be the best detox you could do. Like if you have liver problems, it knows to go to the liver. This is Amazonian medicine that's been around for a lot longer than the white man's medicine in the West that has a prescription bottle. So I believe in this. I believe in plant medicine. I believe they're there for a reason. I believe in is it considered plant medicine if it's a green frog? Anyway, you get what I'm saying. And so you're supposed to do it before you do ayahuasca. You're supposed to do the combo to clear out the regalia so the medicine can get in there and work on you better. So anyway, that's where I'm at in life. I am going to go deep, and you have to keep a journal. I've never been a journal guy, right? Never been a journal guy, and there's all these rules or, you know, suggestions you should do before you go to do ayahuasca to enhance your experience. Cut out salt, sugar, red meat. There's a whole list of things, and I've been pretty damn good about it. Of course, it's hard to avoid salt and sugar. It's in everything, but what are you going to do? You minimize it. You know, you don't add salt or eat gummy bears. So I've been on this cleanse essentially to do it, to maximize, to reap the bennies, and I feel amazing. And I love red meat. I'm a proponent of eating meat, and I love red meat, but I've just been doing fish, chicken, vegetables, salad, rice, soup, super light, and I feel fucking great, man. So that's good. And you have to sober up for it. So I'm basically just healthy, sober Rick. I was doing some gummy edibles up until a few days ago, because you're supposed to stop everything a week out, alcohol and marijuana, and then you have to cut out everything for 30 days out. So I've been a crispy Bonaducci, and I feel like fucking Florianopolis Del Monte right now. It's good. It's good. Don't worry. I'm not going to be one of those guys that I was with Rude Jude, who has been on the podcast, who's one of the funniest, greatest people out there, very honest, outspoken real boy. He's on Sirius XM on Shade 4-5, and he's been on Jenny Jones. He's you know who he is. I was sitting at Erewhon, this health food store in Los Angeles, which means nowhere backwards. It's about a book of a utopian society where all the food's organic and everyone's happy. So Erewhon is nowhere backwards. And it's a health food store that's very overpriced, and I love it. And they take all my money. And I was there, and this dude was going on about his ayahuasca journey. And I'm sitting there, and he's holding court, telling his whole story. And it's like, dude, nobody cares. And I remember Jude just stood up and walked away in the middle of his story. And I was like, God damn, I love that he did that. And so I was like, yeah, note taken. Don't be the guy talking about your dreams or your psychedelic journey. Nobody gives a fuck. It's for you. You know what I'm saying? It's just boring. No one wants to hear it. So maybe I'll give you guys a very short cliff notes of maybe the end. But, you know, then they also say you got to process for a long time afterwards. It's not just like you go there and bypass and just take the medicine and think you're better than everyone else. There's a lot of work that goes with it, from what I understand, that you need to do. I'm in therapy. You combine the two. I think that's a good way to do it, instead of just cheating by taking medicine and doing a life hack like that. I think you got to do the work too. So anyway, it's just one of those things, like vegans that think they're better than everybody, and their intention, I think, is good. You know, they just found something that works for them, so they want to share it with you. But the way they do it sometimes could be very obnoxious and pretentious and holier than thou. So I don't want to be one of those people. So bitch, check me if I end up doing that. All right, but I'm going deep, and I guess, you know, a lot of stuff from your subconscious comes up, and you purge, and a lot of shit that you need to shine the light on your shadow and do that integration on some Carl Jung shit and see what you need to do better. And you need to go in with intentions. So I got a journal. I'm not a journal guy. I've been keeping a journal of all the things I need to do better. And without getting too personal, some of them, I think I have mild depression, anxiety, anger issues, abandonment issues. From my childhood, like I said, you know, they say that, you know, the first 7 years or 6 years are so formative that your whole life pattern is based on those first few years of your life. And everything thereafter, it would be subconscious actions that you don't know you're doing that are based on those formative years. So if you, you know, had an abusive childhood or neglect, or, you know, parent was around, that you're going to act out on that for a long time. So I want to look at that. I mean, I'm already aware of it, and I just think you could go deeper. So that, and, you know, I think fame has fucked me up, and I'm not acting like I'm super famous. I'll get 10,000 listens on this thing. It's not that I'm super famous. I'm medium under famous. Never. People are always like, oh, you're washed up. I'm like, dude, I was never even in the water. How can I be washed up? I ain't even made it yet. I still got shit to do. I'm a dude. Rodney Dangerfield didn't blow up till he was 62. So it's unfair, but it's the reality of the business in the world is that men get to work longer because women have a shorter shelf life in Hollywood and modeling. It's just the reality of it. Anyway, not being sexist, just being realistic. So fame's fucked me up because it's made me like closed off, and I used to be very open, and it's made me closed off, and it's fucked me up. There's just a little amount that I've had. Again, like, I've been around real famous people, and that sucks. I would never want to be Charlie Sheen, Paris Hilton, Adrian Brody, that level where you can't go outside. And I say those three because those are my friends and I've been around them, and it's exhausting. So, yeah. And everyone wants to be famous. And it's like, well, be careful what you wish for. And everyone is famous now with social media. I've seen fame change people so much. And I think I've had a lot of peaks and valleys starting from the beginning of my career, up, down, up, down. So I've eaten the humble pie and it tastes good. And I always say, like, dude, I'll go back to working a regular job, no fucking problem, dude. I almost, that would be great. To truly, to go back to some normalcy instead of this feast or famine pipe dream Hollywood shit that I do, which is fucking insane. You got to be insane to do this. People are like, I want to get in the business. No, I wouldn't recommend this to my worst enemy. Mind you, I'm sitting here in my beautiful little tiny house in the middle of the desert. That's why I moved out here, is to get away from everybody. So I just sit out here like a brown recluse and just stare at the fucking fireplace like Jiminy Cricket. This is what it's come to. And I'm just talking into a microphone to strangers. So anyway, and I think I'm a narcissist. Look, I'm just holding up the mirror. This is by me journaling and looking at all this stuff in itself, just like the diet, just the preparation to do this journey has been very interesting. I think I'm a narcissist, and I don't know what type. I don't know what type, but I think I think we all have there's degrees to it. I think we mislabel each other all the time. Oh, you're bipolar. We don't really know. You got to be a PhD, a doctor needs to label you, not your friend. So I think I suffer from a couple things. One of them being narcissist. I don't think it's like narcissistic personality disorder. The malignant narcissist, which is, they call the dark triad, which is like Machiavellianism, narcissistic personality disorder, and there's one other one. And that's what like Donald Trump is. That's when you're just crazy. You don't feel bad for others. Psychopathy. That's what it is. So I don't think I'm a psychopath. I don't think I have empathy. I do feel bad. But, you know, it's interesting. one of the and I'm just going to be honest. I really want to be honest. One of the reasons I left LA and moved to the desert also was because I hit this point where, sucks to say, I got to a point where the homeless situation in LA got so out of hand that I stopped feeling bad and I was more mad. And my empathy meter ran out because it's so overwhelming. And my whole life of San Francisco, New York, LA, and being around the amount of mentally ill and homeless on the street. Thank you, Ronald Reagan. He put them on the street. That's a fact. It's not a political statement. It's just a fact. The end result is that I, you know, when I was living in Santa Monica, Venice, it was just too much. It was too much. I'd go for a run in the morning and need to bring a knife. I'd go out and my car be broken into all the time, you know, just tweaker shit. And I just stopped feeling bad. And I was just more like, ah, so I wonder, does that make me a sociopath? I don't know. I don't think so. Because I still am capable of feeling bad, you know? I think I reached a point within the confines of one certain manifestation regalia. So, yeah. But even me talking on this microphone about myself is narcissistic. It really is. It truly is. I'm just talking about myself. Like, how boring is that? But this is what I do. You know, this is how I make the medium bucks. It's lonely in the middle. I'm not going to go into other stuff that it's too personal, but this is a trip. Like, I've never been a journal guy. I've tried to keep a journal so many times. It's just not a journal guy. Not the guy. I'm not the guy to, like, write out my thoughts like some tortured poet. I'll use a voice memo or look at Instagram and see what I did 4 years ago. Go fuck yourself, huh? Yeah, so I think we all have to be narcissists to survive. You need an ego. It's just a matter of, like, how big your ego is. And then there's the id, the superego. There's a lot of layers to this fucking cookie cake, baby. This episode of Nervous Rex is brought to you by BetterHelp. It's online therapy. This is exactly what I'm talking about in this episode. We all need somebody to talk to. I know I do. I know that inner dialogue that goes in my head sitting around during a pandemic when you're quarantining can, you know, make you feel a little kooky sometimes. So I think it's very important to talk to somebody to get help. And there's nothing wrong with getting help. All right. So seriously, think about this, guys. This is therapy you could do from your home. What interferes with your happiness? You could talk about it. Is something preventing you from achieving your goals? I know for me, there's a lot. I sit around and I overthink things. Sometimes it'd be nice just to talk to someone. We need to connect. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You connect in a safe and private online environment, so it's convenient. You can start communicating in under 24 hours, and it's not self-help, it's professional counseling. You can send a message to your counselor anytime. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, all without ever having to sit in one of those uncomfortable Woody Allen type chairs that you see in all the movies where you got to lay there and talk to your therapist as he's sitting there judging you. No, this isn't going to happen here. Okay. This is from the convenience of sitting on your own couch. You can even do it standing up if you want. I mean, look, to be quite honest, you could do it from the toilet, although I wouldn't recommend that. You know, BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. Getting a therapist is like getting a new pair of shoes. Sometimes you got to try a few on to find the right one that fits. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. The service is available for clients worldwide. There's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. Licensed professionals are counselors who specialize in depression, stress, anxiety, relationships. We all need help with that one. Sleeping. I need help with that one. Trauma, anger. I need help with that one. Family conflicts, LGBT matters, grief, self-esteem. These are all things that we all need to address and talk about. And anything that you share is confidential. It's convenient, it's professional, and it's affordable. All right. So listen, this is not a crisis line, guys. This is just somebody to talk to. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. Okay, so I want you guys to start living a happier life today. As a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at BetterHelp.com/Rex. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Rex, R-E-X. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, it's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Rex. Do some of that self-work. Love yourself. I love you. This episode of Nervous Rex is brought to you by Shaman Ramen. Oh, baby, am I excited about this one. Two of my friends created the first adaptogenic superfood ramen, and boy, is it delicious. If you live in the Southern California area, you can go ahead and get it at Erewhon, but pretty soon it's going to be available all over. Look, it's an immune booster. It has 7 adaptogenic mushrooms. It's got anti-inflammatory ingredients, vitamins A and C, non-fortified nutritional yeast, soy-free, miso, 100% organic and plant-based, but the best part about it is it's sexy, and girls and guys love it when you're sexy because you're looking good and you're feeling good and you're slurping on some delicious, nutritious love. I'm telling you, there's lion's mane in it, there's cordyceps, reishi mushrooms. Is it reishi or reishi? Either way, there's a whole bunch of mushrooms, some that I can't even pronounce. But basically, long story short, it's the world's first adaptogenic superfood ramen. Conscience, convenience in a cup. And right now, let's be honest, we're all sitting around. We got nowhere to go. We're in a pandemic, so what better time to sit around and get healthy and just spend as little time as possible cooking? It's a win-win because I'm lazy. I just want to eat healthy and I don't have time to be messing around. So for all you guys out there, please, you must go to shamanfoods.life and check out this product. It is so good. Or you could go to Shaman Ramen on Instagram and check out the regalia. Guys, I'm telling you right now, this is a delicious treat. I back it. I just had one, and it's slurpy, delicious treat. I love you guys.
Yeah, so I bought a book. I'm really into Jamie Weil. If you're not familiar with him, he's awesome. Check out his, he's on a lot of podcasts, YouTube him. Jamie, Weheal. I'd love to get him on the pod. I'm trying to hook him up with Chris Ryan because I'm sure he would do Chris's podcast as it's big and they would have an intellectual conversation that I would love to listen to. But it's called Stealing Fire, and he has another new book coming out, but he's all about flow state. A lot of stuff is with flow, and he works with Silicon Valley, Navy SEALs, scientists, on flow. And I'm fascinated with flow. Flow is when you go in the zone. Flow is when you get out of the prefrontal cortex, which is the part of your brain that thinks too much about, I got to pay the bills, I didn't call so-and-so back, blah, blah, blah. And you go into a state of just in the zone. It's like athletes go into the flow, like when Steph Curry's hitting threes, that's the flow state. They actually train Navy SEALs now, if I'm not mistaken, to go into flow, and it helps them in combat. And there's actually hacks that they can do to get the soldiers in training into flow, because that's when you operate at your best, even on less sleep, whatever. And another thing is, Jesus Christ, I'm annoying, is they're reinventing a lot of the belief systems that have been in play in the military for a long time. Like, don't be a pussy, you don't need sleep. Now they're like, no, you need sleep to operate better. But flow is one of them. So anyway, this book that I'm going to pretend to read, that I'll read 4 pages and put in my shelf of other unread books, is called Stealing Fire. So I should do a book club. That would force me to read. You know what I mean? That would force me to read more. I think, am I alone? Do you guys do that too? Hello? Is this thing on? And, I'm just being honest, and it's not saying you guys are probably going through the same thing. Is everyone else depressed? I mean, does anyone else feel the fucking gloom of the existence of what's going on in this country and how divided we are? I met this guy the other day. He lives here in Joshua Tree, and I met him, and he's like, hey, man, I listen to your podcast. I was like, oh, cool. And then, like, he was a cool dude. I'm going to have him on the podcast. And he's local boy, like a desert rat homie. And I'm not an insult. I think he'll even call himself a desert rat. And he said something that really stuck out. He started off the conversation really early on saying something like, I'm not talking about politics with anybody. I'm so over talking about any of that shit. I just want to get along with people and stop talking about that. I was like, yeah, you're right. And he said, we're a country of 330 million people or whatever it is. We're not Switzerland. We're not Canada. We're not Australia. We're not all going to get along. And it's like, yeah, dude, exactly. And I don't even know what his political beliefs are. He might be a Trump supporter. He might be a left-wing goonie. Who knows? The point being is that he's absolutely right. We have too many fucking people in this country to all agree on something. We can agree to disagree and coexist. When did it become so heated that we are ready to kill each other over our belief system? You know, I think it's a lot of misinformation floating around on the internet as a tool that is used very strategically to control a narrative. And it's like, well, what are your options? You know, mainstream media is full of shit. The internet's full of shit. Social media memes are it's like, I don't trust that. People like share a meme with me and like your is spelled wrong. It's like, no, I'm not believing that fucking new age meme that says that Trump's talking to aliens. I'm just not listening to that. I don't, you know, that's actually one that's going on, is that the aliens are working with Israeli government and talking to Trump to reveal that there's aliens. This is my favorite thing that conspiracy theorists do. It's like, watch what happens this week. Watch this week, this is gonna happen. And then nothing ever happens. And there's no part of the brain that goes, oh shit, maybe it's not true. And all these things that I'm being force-fed, that I regurgitate, that aren't happening, I need to critical think and say, okay, this is bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of those, like the Hillary emails. Well, I'm still waiting on those. I've been hearing that for years. Wait till her email. Just wait. Watch. Nothing happens. Oh, the phones are going to go down this week. Nothing happens. Watch what happens. Nothing happens. So at that point, just be like, it's bullshit. Just be like, it's a cult. It's a cult. I feel like this country is really culty with religions. And I'm probably repeating myself, but I found myself almost in a cult once. I was going to Kundalini yoga every day for a year, almost every day. And everyone was wearing the same outfit. I never wore the outfit, but everyone's wearing the all white. And then one day the teacher said, you know what? Someone said that we're a cult. You know what? We are a cult. And I remember a red flag. I was like, fuck that. I can't do this. And it did feel culty, but I almost got swayed into it because we need community. We need each other. We need to put, it's almost like a sports thing. When you go to like watch a 49ers game, I'm a 49ers fan, you immediately bond with your team and the red and whoever's wearing red, and then whoever's wearing the Seattle jersey, those are the enemies and you really don't like them. It's like, what the fuck's that about? Those players on the 49ers aren't even from my hometown. And like Jerry Seinfeld said, you're just rooting for a color. What the fuck is going on? I know this is supposed to be a funny podcast, but shit ain't that funny right now. So I'm sorry, but I'm just being honest. That's one thing I want to do, is just be transparently honest, community caveman, okay? Oh, I need to do more of those interviews like I did with the caveman. I could interview anybody. That's the cool thing. I mean, meaning that I can pretend to be the guest. Like, I could interview Trump. I could interview, I could interview anybody and just do the voice, a bad impression. Like, here's me interviewing, here's me interviewing Snoop Dogg. So, Snoop, where'd you grow up?
Long Beach, baby. Hang on, let me smoke this weed.
Yeah, dog. See, I could do that all day long and have fun with that. Maybe I will. Drinking water with lemon and what's it called? What's that shit called you put in it also? It's good for you. Apple cider vinegar. I'm drinking water, lemon, apple cider vinegar. Drinking green tea. I'm allowed to do little caffeine in the morning for this cleanse. So I do a little green tea. And yeah, that's what's going on in my fucking world. It's just like, I've done everything you could imagine. I've jumped out of fucking airplane. I've done all the thrill seeking, external shit, that now it's time to go in within the realms of the rigatoni de la Hoya and see what lies in my subconscious that I need to work on and then do. Yeah, I mean, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a little scared. It's like you versus you. I was talking to my boys in Miami, and yes, I went to Miami. Risky, yes. Was my mom mad? Yes. Am I gonna have my mom on the podcast? Yes. She's got great stories that I don't remember when I was a little shit. But I went to Miami for no reason except to get the fuck out of town and leave fucking LA and lonely cold desert. And I tested negative twice, so I didn't, it was irresponsible, but nothing bad happened. And I got a friend, I won't say who he is, who he went down to Mexico, got COVID, and then went out after he was sick for one day, and then he went out to the club. He's a super spreader. You can't do that, man. You know who you are. You don't listen to my podcast anyway, but someone that we know is going to tell you to listen to this shit, dog. It's fucked up. Should have stayed home. Again, my take is, someone might get it who will really be fucked up from it. And look, at this point, the more time goes on with the whole COVID thing, like before I was like, I'll get it and build an immunity to it, herd immunity, whatever they call it. But the more I think about it, it's like, well, we don't really know what this looks like in 5 years. What if, let's just say there's a 1% chance that this knocks 2 years off your life down the line. I don't want it. I don't want it. That's me knocking on wood. So I really don't know how the fuck I've managed. And I don't want to jinx anything, but do I really even believe in jinxing? Dude, I went to Texas twice. I flew to Hawaii. I flew to Florida. I've been in LA, the worst place on the planet for COVID. Somehow, I haven't gotten it yet or at all. So, yeah, shit. It's just a trip. So, yeah, the more time goes on, the more I'm like, I don't want that shit. Hang on, take my jacket. I'm wearing a jacket indoors. Hang on. Oh, yeah, I can still talk. The mic's on the table, baby. So, yeah, what else? Oh, yeah, let me look in my fucking phone because I've been writing down notes. Yeah, apophenia is the word of the day. The tendency to perceive meaningful connections between unrelated things. The term was coined by psychiatrist Klaus Conrad in his 1958 publication on the beginning stages of schizophrenia. He defined it as unmotivated seeing of connections, a specific feeling of abnormal meaningness. Yeah, that's what's happening right now, is that people are connecting dots that aren't there to because we have an invisible enemy called COVID, which is ruining everything. And it's you can't see it, so it's not true to you. So you got to make something up. And I think that's not really the move. But what do I know? Here's another thing you could do if you have friends who, which I'm sure everyone listening to this has some friends who have different belief systems. If you say to them this, say to them, okay, no, I hear you. Is it possible that you're wrong though? And if they're like, no, then there's nothing to talk about, right? If there's no way you're 100% right on, because you read something on the internet that obviously hasn't generated, then you're right and no, okay, so there's nothing to talk about. There's no adult debate we can have on this. Because I don't know, but I just know if I had a gun to my head, I would tell you, no, this is what I'm putting my money on, is that, yeah, COVID's real and fucking it sucks and it's Bill Gates isn't trying to kill us. Okay, enough of that shit. All right. All right, let's go into my motherfucking notes, bitches. I still got to name my... Here's some ideas. Okay, I want to name my compound, which is one of the names. So I got this desert spot out in the desert. It's a shipping container house in the middle of nowhere, and I want a name for it. So I've been writing down names. What do you think of these? Here's some names. Little Dick Ranch. Just kidding. I was thinking something penthouse, because it's like a modern little penthouse in the middle of the desert, like Penthouse Sands, Desert Penthouse, Lonely Acres, Lone Rock, Middle of Nowhere, The Hideout, Rusty Ranch, The Regatta, which is a boat thing, makes no sense, Bungalow, DeLorean, Casa de Campo, Solitude, The Bunker, Moon Rock, because it looks like you're on the moon. There's a big rock that looks like the moon. The Hideout, Space Camp, Base Camp, I like BASE, Base Camp, because, you know, like, let's go back to Base Camp. It's like where you regroup, and it's like, for planet Earth, this is my Base Camp. The Compound, Outpost, those are just some ideas I got. But let me go into, no, these are my jokes. God, I write, oh, here's a joke I wrote. I live in a tiny house, so my dick looks bigger. So I'm, wait, let me try that again. Yeah, so I bought a tiny house, just so my dick looks bigger when I'm in it. Something like that. It needs work. I'm so old, I threw out my back falling asleep. Nah, that one's not funny. Do you guys remember drinking tequila during that blackout? I thought I would take a shot in the dark. Oh, these are bad. Let's see. What these are so bad. oh, yeah. A friend tried to do cocaine off my Rolex. I said, not on my watch. Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. Yeah, I had a very unique childhood. I would breastfeed off of my dad's penis. So I wonder if Miles Davis was from Canada. Would he be Kilometers Davis? Okay, these are bad. Someone threw gum at me once, and that really stuck with me. I gotta be honest, I feel very bad because one time I actually ate Panda Express. What did the cat say what did the dog say when the cat sucked his dick? Rough. You get it. Dog tends to have a rough tongue. Oh, yeah. How did the gay deaf man die? Hearing aids. Oh, my mom just texted me because I asked her to be on the podcast. She said, let's talk tomorrow. She doesn't want to do it, but it'd be fucking rad to have my mom. And then I should have my dad on. They haven't talked in years. Divorced. As you can imagine. No, they live together in the quarantine, but they haven't talked in years. So wait, let me go into my podcast notes. Oh, yeah. So I write down crispy rigatonis to do. And did I tell my fight? The last time I got in a fight, it was like 7 years ago, I got in a fight. And I don't fight much, but I got in a fight. I think, did I tell that story? Fuck, okay. I'm going to tell the story. And if you've heard it on another episode, because my memory is of a billy goat, disregard. And this is not me trying to sound tough at all. I'm making fun of myself. That's it. People always say, what's some life advice you'd give kids? Don't take yourself too seriously. We're all the same. Celebrity, normal person. We're all the same. Stop taking yourself so fucking seriously. Seriously. No, truly, that is the best advice I could give. Everybody that takes himself too seriously, it's just like, get over yourself. Make fun of yourself. That's the key to life. It's like when Eminem won the battle in 8 Mile, because like, I do live in a trailer park with my mom. I do. It's like, he dissed himself, so what can the other guy do? He wins. That's the one of the hacks to life, is don't take yourself too seriously. Make fun of yourself. Laugh at yourself, okay? I'm telling you. There's one thing I know about being 46 years old, is that's a good life hack. Okay. So I'm in on tour in Australia, and we fly from L.A. to Sydney. Okay, so that's as long as an airplane could fly with the gas. I think it's the longest flight possible, like 14 hours, 14 and a half hours. So I made the horrible mistake, or the tour manager made the decision to do a show the day we landed, and we landed at 5 in the morning and had to do a show that night. Horrible idea. It couldn't be worse jet lag you can imagine. You go across the international timeline and lose a day, gain a day, whatever it is. So we go all the way to fucking Australia. And I got a show that night. And I realized, I land, I'm like, wait, we got a show tonight? What are we thinking? This is not smart a decision. So you can imagine, you just feel like you're hit by a truck, okay? The amount of fatigue and jet lag and tired is beyond Rangoon. And this is the day. So imagine, like, by noon, you know, I can't sleep. I'm wired. I'm like drinking so much coffee. Then by like 8 p.m., I'm just like, dude, I cannot even imagine doing this show tonight. So anyway, as you can imagine, we stay up, okay? And we're partying to get through. And then I get to the fucking show, and I guess this was some gangster-ass nightclub, and the security guards, either someone got killed in there the week before, this was, something bad happened, so they were like, I guess the place was already, like, had a lot of eyeballs on it. So they didn't want any heat. So I get on stage, no lie, first song I get on stage, a motherfucker jumps on stage, grabs the mic out of my hand, yells, Australia, and punches me in the face with the microphone in his hand, essentially having it be like a roll of quarters, which is a street move back in the 80s. I remember people carry a roll of quarters, so it makes your hand stronger on a punch. Something like that. So the guy socks me in the face, and I remembered to roll my face with the punch to absorb it. So instead of like just staying, so he punched me, and I turned my face with the punch, and I look right at my DJ who was in that peripheral regalia, and I just look at him. I'll never forget his face. He just looked at me like, whoa. And he said, I just look like, he's like, I've never seen that look on your face. You just turned like you were seeing red. And I snapped. And I grabbed the dude, and we're on a stage, and I just somehow, my jiu-jitsu training, I did jiu-jitsu for like 2 years, and I instinctively remembered my jiu-jitsu move where you grab the person by the shirt and twist up and trip them and fall on top of them, and then you're in the on top position. So that's what I did, and I fell on top of him off the stage and land on top of him, and I just start fucking lighting him up, and the crowd forms around, and they're going, dirt nasty, dirt nasty, in Australian accents. And I'm just punching the dude in the face. And I'm like, this is happening, I'm like, oh my God, I'm kicking this dude's ass. This is, what a trip. And somehow it gets broken up. I decapitated him with a left hook. No, he was fine. I'm not a tough guy. But I technically would have won the fight. And then I never forget, the security guard pulls me off. Some cauliflower-eared Australian security guards go, fuck, mate, we didn't think you had it in you. Good form. Great technique, mate. And the dude gets kicked out. I'm like, no, 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 bring him back. I want to buy him a beer, Australian style. And I forget if he came back in or not. So then my adrenaline's going. Now I'm up. And I had this, ironically, an American flag, an American, a map of the USA with a diamond on Los Angeles. So I had this necklace that was like, imagine a map with diamond on LA, and the jeweler would put a diamond wherever you lived. So I had an LA one. It was dope. And it got ripped off during the fight. And I was like, fuck, I lost my necklace. And I remember I couldn't sleep that night. I was so tired, but the adrenaline felt good. And you know, I'll be honest, it felt good to just punch somebody in the face. God, what a feeling just to like, it was very primal, and it was, and he had it coming. He sucker punched, where he jumped on stage and punched me, so it was warranted, so I didn't feel bad. The last time I had gotten in a fight years before that, I felt bad when I kicked this dude in the face as he was bent down, and I actually felt bad as I did it. Like, I was like, oh, that sucks. But anyway, not tough. I remember the next day we flew to like another city, I think Melbourne or somewhere else in Australia. And when we land there, I guess the press had already got it was in the newspaper the next day. Dirt Nasty beats up fan at his show, and the club was all bummed. And so somehow I had this bad boy image, like I'm a tough guy, right? Which was great PR. I was like, I couldn't have planned it better. Be like, all right, dude, you're going to jump on stage, you're going to punch me and yell Australia, then let me beat the shit out of you in front of everybody. It was perfect. So then the next day we fly to Adelaide. That's where it was. We flew to Adelaide, and we get off the plane, and there's some big buff dude in a suit with a mohawk, fighter guy. I'm like, what's going on? And he's like, oh, I'm your security guard, mate. I heard you like to beat up your fans. You're crazy. I was like, dude, that happened once in a decade. I'm so not a tough guy, but hey, you want to be my security? And then all of a sudden I just had this bad boy image. And I'll be honest, it felt good to be looked at like a bad boy, because I've never had that image before. My name's Simon. Who's going to beat you up named Simon? Right? Who? Imagine hearing like, ooh, Simon wants to beat you up. No, maybe there's a tough Simon out there, but I'm not the one. But anyway, there's my old crazy story. All right, so I'm going to end it with that. Again, the message is don't take yourself too seriously. Let me text my mom back. Okay. All right, so I'm going to leave you guys with a crispy song. Let me look in my iPhone and see what is a good one just that I've been listening to lately that I think you guys would like. I really like Mac DeMarco put out an album of demos, which inspired me. I want to put out Dirt Nasty demo album because I have all these songs that never came out. Ooh, here we go. Andre Legacy, my boy, put out a new album, and I got a song with them on there. So this song is called Ghost, and it's about me and Andre Legacy having sex with ghosts on tour. I really hope you enjoy this one, and I love you guys. I'm a narcissistic, fucking psychopathic, bipolar, fucking maniac. I love you.
Supernatural, every word I say is truly factual. Actual accounts caught on camera, my favorite one, her name's Amanda. You ever get your dick sucked by a ghost? A paranormal experience that curls your toes. That's how it goes when your hoes a spirit, pants down moaning and nobody near shit. I seen it and I felt it at night. Ghouls and goblins on your tool just slobbing like a screw that's lodged in. Can you feel it? Ever get your dick sucked by a spirit? Ooh, do you see it? Ooh,
can you hear it?
Ooh, it's getting close. You ever get your dick sucked by a ghost? Ooh, do you see it? Ooh,
can you hear it?
Ooh, it's getting close. You ever get your dick sucked by a ghost?
I had a poltergeist regalia at a hotel room in Australia. Legacy was watching SportsCenter while I nodded off, talking to her. There was no chick there. I was tripping out, just staring at a chair. The shit happened often. Seen a gothic ghost bitch coming out of coffin. I know she invisible, but when she tinkle my balls, it's mystical. This ain't what I wanted. No, no, the condom broke. Now my dick is haunted.
Ooh, do you see it? Ooh,
can you hear it?
Ooh, it's getting close. You ever get your dick sucked by a ghost? Ooh, do you see it? Ooh,
can you hear it?
Ooh, it's getting close. You ever get your dick? dick sucked by a ghost. I know what you thinking, legacy gone nuts. Don't knock until you tried it, bust a ghost nut. It's a must to get in touch with the spiritual world while an imaginary girl perform miracles. I feel that there's fear in you, don't be afraid. I can see in the mirror, dude. I know it sound crazy, but I'ma have a ghost baby with a possessed ghost lady. It's straight up creepy, waiting at night for Miss Heebie-Jeebies. You must think I lost it. Get a ghost dick, son. It's awesome. Ooh, do you see it? Ooh,
can you hear it?
Ooh, it's getting close. You ever get your dick sucked by a ghost? Ooh.